This morning I had a burden to preach some from Galatians chapter 6, and my mind and heart is still in that chapter. So I'd like to go back to Galatians chapter 6 tonight and begin in verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Here the apostle mentions the possibility of one of us being overtaken by a fault. And that could easily happen to any of us. We are sinners by nature and subject to be overtaken by a fault. And if that happens in the church, then the church body is to surround that individual and help to restore them so that they can begin to function again in the body of Christ. The church is a body, the body of Christ, with many members. And if one member of the body is broken, like my left arm was, you want it restored. You want it healed. And in the body of Christ, if one of our brothers or sisters is overtaken by fault, rather than us being harsh and judgmental and cruel, we ought to surround them with love and try to restore them to fellowship with the church and with God. Really, it's good to think of the church in a sense as a hospital. And when people are sick, they need to go where they can get help. But now if you go to a hospital, you don't go hoping to stay. You want to get better. And in the church, as we fail, we want to improve. How many of y'all want to get better in your walk with God, in your discipleship? We want to get better. We don't want to stay sick. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, and there's the key to helping people be restored. You yourself have to be full of love and humility as you approach somebody who has fallen into sin, and not be mean-spirited and judgmental, but loving and kind and yet firm. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Then in verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We had a wonderful letter yesterday here at the church during our conference, read by Sister Retha Mays. It was written by the family, expressing their appreciation for this church being there for them when she was sick and when she passed away. And the letter said the church was a great help to them. I know our family has experienced that. And so we want to be there to help bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And the law of Christ is the law of love, loving God and loving one another. For if a man think himself to be something of himself, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. How does that verse fit in to this context? Well, I think Paul is giving the Galatians a warning. Anybody who thinks of himself as being something by himself, of himself, he has slipped into a great deception. None of us are anything of ourselves. We can't even take credit for us being here in the world. How many of y'all had anything to do with being born? And if you and I are blessed to accomplish something in life, whether it's in business or in our family or whatever, or have a good garden, we need to understand that it was God helping us to do that so that he gets the glory. Would y'all agree with that tonight? I appreciate it when athletes acknowledge God blessing them with the talent to play ball. I really appreciate that. I like it when our leaders acknowledge God and recognize that without Him, they can't lead us in our nation. I like for all of you to acknowledge that God has blessed you thus far. How many of us realize, like John Newton said in the hymn, Amazing Grace, through dangers, toils, and snares. Listen to that. Through dangers, toils, and snares. There's dangers everywhere in this world. Brother Bill Brown was telling me today that when they were coming back home last night on Interstate 16 from Carrollton, where their kids had been cross-country running, they hydroplaned on Interstate 16. And the car spun around several times, and they hit the wire there in the center. And it kept them from going in the other lane. Now, there's danger everywhere. When you and I get on these highways, there's danger out there. Now, listen to what Newton says. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. How many of us can say we've been through many dangers, toils, and snares? I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. Amen. So we don't need to be boasting. We don't need to have a big head and say, well, look at me and what all I've accomplished. You know, we ought to be busy and we ought to be fruitful and we ought to have a good garden. But you know, if God doesn't bless that garden with sunshine and rain, it's not going to produce. You can have the best gardener in the world, but without sunshine and rain, it's not going to produce. So in the end, we all need to recognize that we are dependent on an independent God. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Anytime anybody gets carried away with themselves, they are deceived. You know what the smallest package in the world is? A man all wrapped up in himself. That's a small package. Have y'all ever been there? Probably. At some point, you've been tempted to be high-minded. I've mentioned Elder C. Smith here a number of times in recent years. I heard him one time preaching, and he was quoting from the Old Testament passage where the Bible says that we are nothing and less than nothing. And he said, what is less than nothing? He drew a zero on a blackboard, and he said, now that's nothing. A zero is nothing. He took an eraser and erased it. He said, now that's less than nothing. And that's what you and I are without God. You know, it's just healthy, isn't it? To know, yes, I'm weak, but He's strong. And He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could even think of or ask for. So Paul is warning the Galatians, don't get high-minded, for if any man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. I always love to tell this story. I probably have told this year, but this man was in the military and he was promoted to general. And he was given an office and had a telephone on the desk, and he was sitting at his desk enjoying the fact that he's now a general in the army. And a man knocked at the door and he said, come in. And he picked up the phone pretending he was talking to the President of the United States. Said, yes, sir, Mr. President, I'm honored that you would promote me as a general. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for all those compliments. He hung up the phone and asked the guy that had come into the room, what can I do for you? And the guy said, I'm the telephone man here to hook up your phone. Y'all better watch out. We all better watch out, right? Putting on airs. Pretending. Now, listen. He would say in verse 4, but let every man prove his own work. and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. I think what the apostle there is teaching us is to tend to our own business and not meddle in other people's business. Listen to what the apostle Paul would say to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11. And that ye study to be quiet. Now, how many of y'all have taken a course in that? Study to be quiet. Now, that doesn't mean you can't talk, but it just means we need to learn when to speak and when not to speak. Study to be quiet. You know, that would be a good subject to have in grammar school, wouldn't it? And in high school and in college. Study to be quiet and to do your own business. Don't meddle in other people's business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. So Paul is saying to the Thessalonians, do your own business. And to the Galatians he would say, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now he had just told us to bear one another's burdens. Now he tells us to every man to bear his own burden. And I think verse 5 is saying that we all must take responsibility for our own behavior. I want to tell you, beloved, people start maturing and growing up when they take responsibility for their own choices in life and stop blaming everybody else. The blame game doesn't help any of us. Adam and Eve blame God. And a lot of people in our culture want to blame the government. They want to blame their teachers. They want to blame their parents. They want to blame the church for all their mistakes. Paul would say, for every man shall bear his own burden. Listen, take responsibility for your life and not blame other people with it. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Paul would say that if men are called of God to teach the word and communicate the word to us, that they should be supported by those that they feed from the word of God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That brings us back to the garden. Now, Paul is giving us a logical point right here. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If you planted corn, would you be surprised if watermelons came up? You would be shocked. And that's not going to happen. Because in nature, things bring forth after their own kind. Whatever a man sows, that he will reap. And so it is in our behavior in this life. For if a man soweth to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if he soweth to the Spirit, then of the Spirit he shall reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Gardening is not for people that are impatient. People who garden have got to be patient. You can't go out there and plant your garden this morning and harvest it this afternoon. You've got to be patient. Takes a while. Now, Paul is saying, when you and I are sowing to the Spirit, it may take a while for us to begin to reap, but you will reap if you faint not. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Listen to that. For in due, he says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You can go out there and plow up the soil and plant it, but if you faint, you'll never reap. Now I want to say to all of us, we don't want to quit in our Christian service. I appreciate people coming back on Sunday night. Means a lot to the pastor and to the others for people to come and worship with us on Sunday night. It means a lot for you to come here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. There's no retirement in the kingdom of God. No place to faint. Would y'all agree with that? You say, Brother Sam, what's going to keep me from not fainting and giving up? And, you know, after 20 years in the church, I ought to be eligible for retirement. They'll let you retire from Robbins Field when you're, what, 20 years in? Why can't we retire from serving God after 20 years? I'll tell you why. Because God has not retired from helping us. What if he went, what if God retired? What if God just said, I'm through. Y'all do the best you can down here. Where would we be? Are y'all with me tonight? God is not going to retire. He doesn't even go to sleep. He said, the Bible says, he that keepeth Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. He's watching over us. And I want to tell you something else, beloved. One of the most impressive paintings that I ever saw in my life was a painting of Jesus on the cross. You couldn't see his face. You saw the back of him and the thieves on either side. And the caption down under the crosses touched my heart deeply. I've never forgotten it. The simple caption said, he didn't quit. In John 13, John said, and having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them to the end. To the end of what? To the end of his life. When he was beaten and scourged by the Roman soldiers. And let me remind you, when a Roman soldier who had been trained with the lash stripped a man's back naked and tied him to a whipping post and gave him 30 lashes. Let me tell you, that man knew he'd been whipped. When that Roman soldier got through beating Jesus, his flesh was like ribbons of blood. Sometimes a trained man with the whip could be so thorough in the lashing until the kidneys would be bare. And Jesus didn't quit. And when they took him out and laid him on that heavy beam, that cross, that splintery cross, and nailed his hands and feet, he didn't say, Father, I'm done with this. I didn't know it was going to be this bad. I love him, but I don't love him that much. Take me home. No, he didn't quit. And when they lifted that cross up from the ground and dropped it in the hole, can you imagine what that would do to a human body? But he didn't quit. Are y'all with me tonight? That's the reason I don't want to quit. That's the reason I want to be faithful. Like old Elder Spear on his hospital bed, grieving because he couldn't go to church. I said to him, Brother Spear, he said, I'm so hungry to go to church. I said, well, Brother Elzy, you got a lot of memories. He said, I can't feed on memories. He wanted to go to church. He was faithful to the end. Now that's what our beloved apostle Paul is saying to us tonight. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I remember as a child, old brother William Nobles, they would bring him in. He lived to be in his 90s, and they would bring him in, and he would sit in a chair right in front of the pulpit. He was hard of hearing, and in those days, I don't think they had hearing aids. But they had one of those horns. You've seen those. He would hold it up and it would try to pick up the sound waves and he would listen. And he'd try to catch every word. And he was faithful till his 93rd or 4th birthday. I don't know how much time I've got left on earth, but I know one thing. My Savior deserves every minute of it. Anybody agree with that tonight? He's my all in all. Every breath I breathe is a gift from Him. And so Paul would say, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That doesn't mean now that you're going to earn you a home in heaven if you don't faint. That's already been earned for us by Jesus. But you're going to reap the blessings here in this world as you enter in. I remember years ago I was with Elder E.W. Hooven in North Carolina, and he said, Brother Sam, I want you to go over and visit with a dear sister in our church with me. And she was already suffering from some dementia, and she was in her daughter's home in a back room, and we went back to visit with her. She wasn't able to get out and go, but she sat there and she enjoyed having the brethren come to visit with her. And every 2 or 3 minutes she would say, precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. She wasn't sitting back there in that back room having a pity party. She was remembering how God had been with her and blessed her. How many of y'all want that? Or how many of y'all want to grow old without the presence and fellowship of Jesus? I don't. And I'd say these young children here tonight, I thank God for them, and they need Jesus just as much as the old folks do. I want these little children to know Jesus loves them. He cares for them. Now, and as we have before opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Every opportunity you and I have, let's do good to all men that we meet in this life. When Nelda and I moved into our house down in Cochrane, a guy showed up with a lawnmower and a weed eater and cut our grass and cut all the trimmings and all. We had bushes up to the roof of our house. And when we got back, they were all cut down. Now, you know, that was doing good to us. Would y'all agree with that? Anybody ever want to come cut my grass? You're welcome. I was strongly rebuked today in the dining room by some brethren whose names I will not mention. But they rebuked me for giving the men such a hard time this morning and not saying a word to the women. I even got rebuked tonight after I got to church. And those of you that weren't here, I was telling the men, you help those wives wash the dishes and mop the floors and, you know, don't be a guest in your own home. Well, I promised them I would get on to the women tonight. But I can't think of a thing to say. I'm just going to ease out of that. But I want to tell you, let's do good to all men. In our household, our neighbors. We've got some wonderful neighbors, I tell you. They are wonderful neighbors. They take care of our dog when we're, they got him right now. And she gets better treatment there than she does at our home. Good neighbors. You know how valuable a good neighbor is. And if you want a good neighbor, be a good neighbor, right? That's right. I've had good neighbors my whole life. Everywhere I've ever lived, I've just had good neighbors. I tell you about a neighbor I had in Statesboro. And they didn't go to church. It was sad. They missed out on a lot by not going to church and having a church family. And sometimes they'd have a rough party. It got rough at times. But one Sunday morning, my car wouldn't crank. I mean, it was dead. And it was time to go to church. And I went over to my neighbors and I said, is there any chance you could come over and jump my car off? I'm already about late. He gave me the keys and said, you just take my car and keep it all day long. He was doing good to me. You and I can do good to people in this life. And I want to tell you, when you treat people good, you'll be blessed by it. You really will. You'll get more out of it than they will. And so Paul would say, do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That is, in the church. And ye see how large a letter I've written unto you with mine own hand. He's coming down to the end of this marvelous letter to the churches of Galatia. And he says, I'm writing this large letter with my own hand, which would probably indicate that our beloved apostle had a serious eye problem. But now verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. These Judaizers, these Jewish men who followed Paul and tried to bring his converts back under the law of circumcision and the law of Moses, and telling them that in order to go to heaven, you don't only need the blood of Jesus, but you need your good works, and you need to be circumcised. And they were teaching that they may glory in their flesh by indicating that they had helped to save these people from their sins by getting them to be circumcised. But notice in verse 14, but God forbid. That's a strong statement, isn't it? God forbid. What is it that Paul wants God himself to forbid? But God forbid that I should glory save or except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Listen to what Paul says. I'm going to forbid myself, and I'm asking God to forbid that I would ever glory in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, beloved, Paul isn't saying there that he's going to glory in the wooden cross. Many people glory in the wood of the cross. No, that's not what we glory in. There's an old song, The Old Rugged Cross, and I don't think it's in this hymn book, and it really doesn't have a place in the hymn book. The rugged cross is not what we love. What was it that Paul was glorying in? Not the wood of the cross, but the person of the cross. The one that was on the cross. That's what he's glorying in. And I believe he was glorying in the purpose of the cross. What was the purpose of that cross? So that Jesus Christ, by dying on that cross, would save everyone the Father had given him to save. We glory tonight in the purpose of the cross. And furthermore, we glory in the power of the cross. If you had been there that day and you'd looked up and saw Jesus up there hanging in naked shame with spit on his body, bleeding, if you had seen him up there, you would have thought he's a weak, frail man. But let me tell you, veiled behind that apparent weakness was the power to save the entire elect family of God. And we glory tonight in the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. We don't glory in buildings, budgets, or baptisms. We glory in Jesus Christ. Is he worth our being here tonight and us trying to serve him all the days of our life? Yes, he is. And we glory in him. Thank you all for your good attention tonight.